Earthquake by Ruskin Bond, read here by the author, published by Puffin Books, an imprint of Penguin Random House, India. Grandfather's Bath. Whenever there was an emergency, Grandfather happened to be in his bath. He was in his bath when a wild elephant smashed its way through the garden, trampling Grandmother's prize roses and sweet peas, and bringing down the garden wall. He was in his bath when the roof of the house blew away in a cyclone. And he was in his bath when a visiting aunt went into hysterics because there was a baby python curled up on her dressing table. On all these occasions, he expressed surprise that anything could have happened during the 20 minutes he was in his bathtub. By the time he had dressed, everything was over. Wild elephant had gone trumpeting on its way, cyclonic storm had passed, and baby python had been removed by young Master Rakesh, who had put it there in the first place. Grandfather's bath consisted of an old-fashioned tin tub filled with several buckets of hot water, to which he added sprigs of mint. A mint bath. No one had ever heard of such a thing, but Grandfather said it was most refreshing. Grandfather sang in his bath and splashed around a lot, which is probably why he seldom knew what was going on elsewhere. He was in his bath when the first shock of the great earthquake shook northeastern India, an earthquake that was to reduce most of the town to rubble. The family, or most of it, was living in Shillong, a busy little town in the Cherrapunji Hills, where Grandfather Berman had retired after leaving the Forest Service. He'd bought a large old house on the outskirts of the town, a house so large and so old that most of his pension was used up in constantly repairing it. Grandmother Berman just about managed to make both ends meet. There were no servants except for Mumtaz, a cook who'd been with the family since Grandfather's Forest Service days. He had 4 small children of his own. The Burmans' grandchildren lived with them. Rakesh, 11, rode off to school on his bicycle every morning. Mukesh, 6, refused to go to school until he was 7. Dolly, 3, followed Grandmother about the house and garden, helping her feed the chickens and the dog, which was half a dachshund and half a spaniel, and was called Pickle, and a goat that Grandfather insisted would provide them with milk some day. Only so far it hadn't. The children's mother died when Dolly was born, and their father, Mr. Berman, worked on a tea estate a few 100 miles away, where there were no schools. So the children stayed with Mr. Berman's parents, who wouldn't have parted with them for anything in the world. Every year there were earth tremors in this part of India, but there hadn't been a really big earthquake for 30 years. "What do you do when there's an earthquake?" asked Rakesh, who had heard all about the last one. "There isn't time to do much," said Grandfather. "Everyone just rushes out of doors." "I'll stay in my bed until it's over," said Rakesh. "I'll get under my bed," said Mukesh. "It can't find me there." "It's best to stand in a doorway," said Grandmother. "If you look at earthquake pictures, you'll notice that the door frames are always left standing." Although Shillong was in a region where earthquakes sometimes happened, the family liked living there. There was a lake and a colourful bazaar, and Grandmother's garden was full of butterflies, birds, and exotic orchids, as well as fruit trees and trees that were fun to climb. Rakesh liked roaming around the town on his bicycle. Mukesh enjoyed the sweet shops in the bazaar, when he wasn't wrestling in the dust with Mumtaz's 2 boys. Dolly kept herself busy building her own doll's house under the staircase. Life moved at a gentle pace in Shillong. Apart from the elephant in the garden, nothing very exciting had happened recently to the family. The highlight of the year had been Rakesh's winning the high jump in his school sports, for which he had won a small cup, so small that he had given it to Dolly to add to her doll's house. Then one morning, while Grandfather was having his bath, the town seemed suddenly very still and very quiet. The first tremors. Grandfather didn't notice anything, because he was splashing about and singing. But Grandmother, who was in the garden, trimming her rose bushes, paused in her work and looked up. Why were the birds silent all of a sudden? Not only the birds in the trees, but the birds in the henhouse too. And the goat had stopped nibbling at the geraniums. And the dog, who had been yapping at a squirrel on the wall, sat down quietly, ears back, head between his paws. "Now isn't that funny?" said Grandmother aloud. "I wonder what..." And then the opposite happened. The hens began cackling, the dogs barking, and the birds shrieking and flapping their wings. The crows in the neighbourhood all took wing, wheeling wildly overhead and cawing loudly. The chickens flapped around in circles, as if they were being chased. Two cats, sitting on the wall, suddenly jumped up and disappeared in opposite directions. Grandmother had read somewhere that animals sense the approach of an earthquake much quicker than humans. And true enough, within half a minute of her noticing the noise made by the animals, she heard a rattling, rumbling sound like the approach of an express train. The noise increased for about a minute, and then there was the first trembling of the ground. The animals by this time all seemed to have gone mad, and were making a hideous noise. Treetops lashed backwards and forwards, doors banged and windows shook, and Grandmother said later that the house actually swayed in front of her. She had difficulty in standing straight, although she admitted that this may have been due more to the trembling of her knees than to the trembling of the ground. This first shock lasted only about half a minute, but it seemed much longer. Grandmother realized that Grandfather was in his bath, that Rakesh was on his way to school, that Mukesh was playing marbles with Mumtaz's son, and that Dolly was under the staircase busy with her doll's house. Mumtaz would be in the kitchen washing vegetables. Grandmother rushed indoors to fetch Dolly. As she did so, the rumble grew louder. Grandfather did not hear it, because he was still singing. But Grandmother heard it, and so did Dolly, who also noticed that her doll's house was beginning to totter. Along with the rumble, Mumtaz heard the rattle of crockery. A teapot slithered off the sideboard and fell to the floor in pieces. In the sitting room, an antique vase, 300 years old according to Grandfather, leapt off the mantelpiece and crashed to the ground. When Dolly felt the first tremor, she instinctively crawled under the well of the staircase, dragging her favourite doll with her. All the doll's hair had long since come out, and so had one eye, but Dolly had had the doll a long time, and felt she needed special care and attention. She couldn't understand why the house was shaking, but she wasn't afraid. Houses just shook sometimes, she supposed. Grandmother did not see her under the staircase, and dashed into the drawing-room, calling, "Dolly, Dolly, where are you?" The clock on the wall went crazy, and began striking all hours. In the kitchen, Mumtaz was trying to catch plates, glasses, and dishes as they sprang madly from the shelves. Mukesh had lost all his marbles, and not in a game with his friends. They had rolled out of the gate and down the road and then disappeared into the ground, where a number of fissures had appeared. Grandfather stopped singing when he found he couldn't manage the high notes. He noticed that his bathtub was almost empty. Surely he hadn't splashed so much. He reached for the mug, but couldn't find it. He started getting out of the tub, but the tub itself rose up and pitched him out on the flooded bathroom floor. "A ghost!" exclaimed Grandfather. "There's a mischievous ghost in here playing tricks with me, and playing tricks with the tub." He grabbed his towel and wrapped it round his waist, then flung open the bathroom door and dashed onto the landing. By that time, the first earthquake tremor was over. Rakesh was halfway to school when he found his cycle swerving about
Sample complete. Ready to continue?